So this series, all this might be confusing to you, but it comes out of months and months of a team trying to come to grips with, it came out of two conversations, really. One was with Caleb, where he said, "Dad, I think sometimes we presume that people understand what to do with theology, that when we do the Romans 5 through 8, that they would know how does that practically apply. And not all of us do. So could you help us? Could we do a series where we more specifically start to tie things together?" And then I went on another walk with Jason, and he initially was kind of saying the very same thing, that we need more application to the truth that we're teaching. And so it started us all on a journey, and we thought, well, there needs to be a place where it feels safe and we feel like we're all together, where we can ask questions about things that are not making sense in Scripture. So that's what this is for. About every 4 or 5 weeks, we will stop a section, and hopefully on your phone, on your app, you're writing down, "John, that didn't make sense. Could you talk more about this?" Or, "Caleb, you need to do this. Jason, do." So I hope it is a profoundly important shaping series for us. We just finished Romans 5 through 8, and we have this beautiful passage that just keeps knocking us over. And so with that bedrock, and each time up here in the 4 to 5 weeks, we'll do a, as Jason did, a kind of a quick vignette on it to keep it in front of us. And please, if without making it a law, if that would be something you like to do, that would be a great gift to memorize in this version that maybe a lot of us haven't been familiar with. It could come alive for us. Anyways, when I started thinking about the So What series, I don't know why, but the very first one I thought was, how would Jesus, how would all these truths, how would the fact that I'm new in Christ, how would the fact that I have all of this reality of Christ in me being true, what would that affect in a relationship? I especially think of myself when I was younger with my wife, Stacy, when I'm about to say those words that will hurt her so badly. How would Christ, if I trusted these things to be true, how would it practically play out to where that could change and those words wouldn't be said and an entire generation would start to be shifted of how we treat each other? And it caused me at the time, I end up writing this first statement where I said, by far the most damaging times in our marriage have been when I allowed us to go so deep into an argument where we both said words so unkind that we could never fully recover. It is not easy to reconvince the other of your tenderness, affection, and commitment after repeatedly giving yourself permission to tear them down with hurtful words. And yet, here I was as a young man, a young preacher, a lover of God, and yet getting into those places that I never wanted to. And so maybe as a practical message for me, I realize it doesn't start there. I can't get it 2 o'clock in the morning because there's something way back here that allowed it to start. You know what I mean? Do you ever do that? Do you ever talk to your spouse? And by the way, this is not just for husbands and wives. This is about daughters and dads. This is about the guy who is unreasonable that you're working with and you don't know how to deal with it. This is for all of our relationships. This is the one I have to use because it's me. But have you ever, with your spouse or with anyone that you've gotten into a rough go with, if you look back, isn't it crazy to think what started it? It's never like, oh, I'm not happy about my whole life and you've been a bad husband. It's something bizarre and irrational. Am I right? I mean, raise your hand. Is that true? Because I'm thinking, what then? How can I do something about that? If someone comes in and says, like after a day out and we haven't seen each other, and they say something irrational to me. I had another one that I used for a service, but Stacy said, I don't talk that way. Make it something else. She said, make it this. And so here I'm going to give what she said that I should make it. She comes and says, oh, you're going to call Sam now, right? At dinner time. Is he so important? Why don't you move in with Sam if you care about Sam so much? We're at dinner and these kids, they're your children. Stop calling Sam. Well, let's say someone has said that. And I'm thinking, maybe there's a ton of irrationality to that. Maybe there's something behind that. Maybe something bigger. And I started thinking, what causes irrationality? What causes overreaction? And I think of two things. She's either found out something I was hiding. And gentlemen, if that's true, good luck. You're on your own. Don't hide things. Bummer for you. But the second is, I get irrational in a response when I've been hurt or embarrassed. And that embarrassment eventually steps me into my shame story. That one that says, you have never been enough, you never will be enough, there's something very wrong with you. And so you can do that for a while. You can stay in that place for a while, but inevitably it's just too much to carry. You can't see yourself that way. So it has to be about somebody else. And usually you'll do it with the person you're safe enough to do it with. And usually that's your spouse. You wouldn't do that to your boss. You would say something hugely irrational with your spouse because they will stay. And so I started thinking about that. If that's true, many of us come from a background where that's just what they did. Of parents, Stacy would talk about her parents, and I realized my parents were very similar. You would get into an argument, and you would never resolve it, you'd never solve it, you'd never talk about it, you would just go quiet and then emerge the next day kind of like nothing else ever happened. And maybe the dad would give some candies or something, but you would never face the issue and you would just go on and there'd be less and less things you could talk about. And so I want to give this incredible hope this morning with these truths. You don't have to do it the way you've always done it. You don't have to do it the way your family of origin did it. You don't have to take the bait of the evil one. You don't have to win by demeaning another. And I thought, where in Scripture is the fluid that I need for this reality? And so I went to chapter 3 of Ephesians because it's there where he tells me, get to know Jesus. Let him love you. Enjoy him. Now that you've stopped seeing him as someone who condemns you or judges you or beats you up, and you realize that's never been Jesus. And Jesus only has been your fan and your friend and the one who wants to love and teach and release and free and enjoy you. Paul says in chapter 3, test it out as far as you can go, as far as you can reach. His love will be there. Enter into it. Let him enjoy you. Find out what love feels like, what it means, what it really is like to have been filled up with the love of another. Thank you, Siri. Okay. By the way, on Twitter, the voice of Siri followed me. I'm being followed by the woman who does the voice of Siri. That means nothing to you, but it meant something to me. So, in that, he says, you will learn that I am in you, and that I am with you, and that I am for you, and that you are not alone. And what if you did know how I see you, and that I am never, ever, ever influenced by any new information? I got this. What if you could stand in the strength of your actual righteousness and the fact that I am crazy about you and nothing that could be said will change that? What would that do to how you would face the next time that you were slighted or someone was irrational with you or tried to inflame you? So this, guys, this beautiful passage in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, all you guys, meditate on this. I have a friend that we're going through this, just this right now, where he says, I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. That's an initial aorist boom, once and for all. And it is a daily choice. He's right in here. He's not going anywhere. He lives in me. But for me to actually embrace it and experience it and let it be true, oh, you guys, that's our choice. So he says, then I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, that you will be able to take in, drink in, hopefully with all the Christians, the extravagant, there it is again, the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. I love this last line. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. It's not for any caste of people. It's not for the religious people. It's for you. This. And then I thought, what would that do? And I put up that next slide, Mark. Receiving the love of Jesus, one of the byproducts of it, is that it allows you to be more in tune to discern what's taking place relationally before it's too late. I stop being a lemming when that irrational statement, overstatement by my wife is made. I go, and don't dive in like a blind lemming. One of the byproducts of the beauty of getting to enjoy Jesus with no price tag, no time on it, no quiet time that you have to be in, but just simply saying, that's what I want with my life. Receiving the love of Jesus allows you to rest in his assessment of you before the inflammatory remarks are made. So you walk into every setting already pre-insulated from a lemming's reaction. Receiving the love of Jesus allows you to be convinced that you are perfectly enough so you don't have to retaliate to be proven enough. And receiving the love of Jesus allows you to more readily remember what you can give to help and heal and free the other person. It is a beautiful place when you realize you're not going it alone. It is a magnificent place when you finally realize it is Christ in me. And he's in dialogue with me, with my heart. I can imagine a conversation with him. So that right there, that single thing that we saw, would Christ really want to be in moment by moment interaction with me? And the answer is yes. Yes. So you're not alone. You're not defending yourself. You're not self-protecting. There's someone right here. And so I imagine that scene again where Jesus might say, all right, in about 40 seconds, she's going to come in the door, and it's going to be weird. It's going to be a weird statement. And she's a wonderful woman. I love her so much, but this is going to be weird. Like 35 seconds now, she's going to come in that door, and you have no idea what she's going to say, but it's going to rock your world. Now, look, we're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. But it is going to be weird. You're going to have to choose to love. We'll talk about that in a moment. 12 seconds, she's going to come in. All right, are you ready? Remember, I'm here. Remember, I've got you. And the door opens. Oh, great, it's dinner time. And you got to call Sam. That's just great. We got a whole family here, and you got to call Sam. If you love Sam so much, why don't you move in with him? And I say to Jesus, there's so many things I want to say right now. And he says, don't. Please, just one. Oh, it's so good what I want to say. Now listen, John, whatever you will say right now will harm you. And it'll harm your children, and it'll harm your wife. There's nothing you can teach right now. There's no answer you can give. There's no snide remark that is going to move things forward. Now listen. You have me in you. You do not have to respond like a lemming. I know who you are. You love this woman, and you love me, and you have all of my power in you. Now, have we been together enough that you are starting to get in tune with this fact? This seems like an overreaction. Could it be that my wife got hurt today? Could it be that she's overreacting because her shame kicked in and she thought she's not enough and she doesn't know who to take it out on but you? Because if you could figure that out, this next few seconds could change a lot of things. And you know what I would tell you to do. And I thought about it these last 2 weeks, and I started formulating, Jesus, speak to my heart. What if I was not a lemming, and I started to go, what's going on here? What could I do? And sometimes what I'm going to say is going to take 30 seconds. Sometimes it's going to be an entire night. And I'm just going to put them up. Listen, serve, validate, affirm, and give away home. If when she comes in and says that off-the-wall statement, and we had music going, if I could just listen, do nothing more, hold my ground, even though I'm a mess of thoughts inside, if I could just listen. Stacy says to me, Whenever I have the ability to do that, she will say in some way the next day, I am so thankful to God that I have a husband who would just listen to me. You see, what's not on that list is give an answer. Maybe I just didn't get around to it, but it's give an answer is never, you know, honey, what you need right now. I can tell you, you have a problem with Sam and whatever. You don't. If I will just listen and let her speak and get it out, it costs time, it costs heart, and sometimes you are the brunt of it. But if I am strong in this that Jesus says I am and how he sees me, then nothing's on trial. So I get to listen. And then I get to serve. I get to change the dynamic of the room. I will say sometimes, stop for a second. Would you let me cook dinner tonight? Let's just, which is a lie. I can't make dinner. At all. I can't cook at all. The only thing I could do would throw a piece of meat on a grill and then say, here is meat. You know, I don't have that, but I do have plastic, and I can say, you want to go somewhere? Let's go somewhere. Because I'm now saying to her, I'm not trying to get past you. I'm not trying to demean you. Third, to validate. Validate does not mean that I agree with what you're saying, but it's saying it's okay for you to not be okay. It's okay for you to be hurting. It's okay for you to not be done grieving. It's okay for this not to be resolved with you. Just last night, for example, I, in essence, Stacy brought up something, and I'm sure I gave a visible and gave the message to her, honey, it's time to be done with that. And she said to me, you know what, Tiger? I'm not done with it. And I can't be done with it until I'm done with it. And you telling me to be done with it is not going to make it go faster. When I can validate her and say, what you are feeling is okay. It doesn't mean I agree and wish that you had to bring it up again. It's just saying you are on your pace and in your time, and God adores you, and it's no mistake that you're grieving over this. You don't have to change a single thing. And if I could affirm her and say somewhere in their language like, if I had this to do over again, I'd still marry you. You are an incredibly made, beautiful woman of God. Inside, I'm still churning. Inside, I don't get it. Inside, I've been inflamed, but I am Christ in John Lynch, and I believe it, and I am ready for that storm, and I know when it comes, when I can hear the irrationality, I get it. And then I can give her a way home. And that can be as simple as saying, changing the subject by saying, hey, you're behind on Words with Friends. I'm way ahead, and I'm just about to play. So that I give a chance to take that off so it doesn't feel like her identity. It doesn't feel like there's something particularly wrong with her, but that her husband thinks she is a delight and wants to be with her. Now, that, like I said, that can take 5 minutes. That can take a week. But I wanted to say this. If all these things that we've been learning of identity in Christ, there ain't no other way to do it. If you're just doing a list to do a list, John said I should do this, it won't do a thing. They'll smell it. But if it's coming out of who you are in Christ and you have learned to not be a lemon, she will go, who are you and where's my husband? And she will say, oh my gosh, the cycle's being broken. Now, I'm going to make this stat. I believe 95% of all of these, I hate you, I wish we'd never been married, could go away if I dared to trust this to be true and gave myself permission to live, change the dynamic by serving, to validate, to affirm, and to give away home. Guys, this is not just about husbands and wives. This is about sons and dads. This is about coworkers. This is about everyone that you walk with who gets unreasonable. Now, I know exactly what you're saying. Some of you are saying, hey, that's so great. So I get to be all this wonder for everybody else and give them away home. Nobody's there for me. What about me? My wife doesn't know how to do this. She wasn't in the sermon that day. The guy at work doesn't know how to do this. And I think I want to tell you, first of all, you do have people in your life. And they're waiting. And they want to be there. I think Bill was the first man who convinced me that in the middle of my shame, somebody could bring me home. And I have them all over. This guy. They're all over. In every section, there's that woman, that guy. They're who are saying, I so want to protect you. I so want to be the one who gives you this, John, when you are irrational. And you are irrational, John, about half the time. But even if there wasn't anyone, that's what this is for. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to get me home to heaven. But also, he said, I wanted to find a way to when you get scared or it's hard or it doesn't make sense or you get hurt or you get embarrassed, that we have had this time together where we just played so that you could experience, because it's going all the time, that you would feel that I'm listening to you, that I listen to every word, every single word, that I'm serving you all the time. I'm rewiring things all the time. I'm validating you. John, you can't get crazy enough for me. Whenever you go dark, it's okay. It's all right. You're right on time. And I'm affirming you, saying, I love you more than anyone else. And I want to give you a way home. Not just to get you to heaven, but every single day. Because I know what you go through, John. I know the pain that you go through. I know the confusion you go through. I know the inner dialogue you go through. Guys, this life, Ephesians 3, if we try it on, you can change the entire course and destiny of your family line. It is that beautiful and that powerful.